Psalm 51, this is a rich psalm, and the Lord is our helper. We're going to dig deep this morning, and I hope you'll listen. I'm going to insist that you listen and that you examine yourself. This is preaching. It's not so much about teaching and learning new stuff. It's about being honest. That's the deal here. Psalm 51, verse 6. Let's read this verse. I've really been pondering this week, and so I want you to read with me here. Behold, this is David's psalm of repentance. I mean, his prayer of deep repentance. Everybody has a Psalm 51 in their life that's ever been saved. Yeah. If you don't get this, it's because you've never been here. This is David getting things squared away, getting straightened up. And not just on the outside, on the inside. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Well, that's a whole other message there. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Very familiar verse back in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, speaking of Saul, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And let me tell you something, we better not forget that. Woe unto us if we settle for a good outward appearance. If we're satisfied with what everybody else thinks of us, and not concerned about what God thinks about us. If we think that what God thinks about us is the same as what everybody else thinks about us, we're deceived and doomed. Most people never go any farther in their Christian profession than reforming and dressing up their outward appearance. Now, I believe that. I believe that from all these years of watching people and experiencing what it's Christianity, being in the middle of it. Most people are satisfied with that. For most people, their heart remains unchanged, and they spend their life wearing a mask to convince others and themselves that they're really ready to meet God when they die. And that they're okay with God right now. They teach their children by that example. And they're satisfied, really, with the same from their children, the same example of double-minded, two-faced hypocrisy. You say one thing, you put on a mask to show everybody, you put on an outward appearance that's not the same as what's in here. But you better not forget that God desireth truth in the inward parts. And that's where David's at here now, buddy. It's down to the gut-wrenching heart surgery, if you will. He's in deep trouble. I mean, and that's got so much to say, I'll never be able to say it. And I've thought about this. I've got another message for tonight, but if we don't get far enough along in here, we'll just cut it off and finish it tonight or go some more tonight, whatever we need to do here. But as long as others praise them, their children, and they don't bring shame and disgrace upon the family, they imagine that all's well with their soul. Now, that's what I've seen in parents through the years in churches. They're good as long as their kids behave themselves, dress right, make a good impression on other people. That just stops them from worrying about it. We're good. But you're in for a big surprise most of the time if you don't look deeper than that. My son, give me thine heart. It's foolishness if we don't look deeper in our own self, first of all, but then in our children and in our spouses and in each other as well. The outward appearance is important, That's one of the things that really bothers me about nowadays, because they fall off in the ditch either way. You know, the outward appearance, some people make that all important. Other people make it of no importance. And they're both wrong. Every true Christian is going to be concerned about their outward appearance and the impression they make on other people. You're going to care about what other people think of you. You're not going to be the one that says, I don't care what they think. I'm going to wear my tattoos. I'm going to dress the way I want to dress. And I don't care. No, a real Christian ain't going to do that. You're going to be concerned. You're going to want to abstain from all appearance of evil, because that's what the Bible says. So it is important. But we should never forget that it is very possible to put on a good show outwardly and still have a heart that is unconverted. Don't forget that. Amen. Don't forget that about yourself, first of all. And then don't forget it about your children. Because that's just how it is. If I could number them this morning, and that I've known in the last 45 years... These kind that I just described would far, far outnumber the ones who had truth in the inward parts. Now, just sad I hate to say that, but that's the truth. You know, we can appear to be conforming to truth outwardly, but be completely deceived in our inward parts. We're always, you know, people are confused and astonished when somebody seems to be doing so well and they have on this... They have on the Christian uniform in every way, and they know the lingo, and boy, they talk the talk, and they're in on everything, and then all of a sudden, they're just bang, and they're gone, and they're out there in sin, and everybody's like, how can that be? And it confuses everybody. It shouldn't confuse you. Shouldn't confuse you. And you really shouldn't be surprised if you're watching and paying attention to more than just the outward appearance. When a person is possessed by truth in his inward parts, his outward appearance will certainly be different than the world around him. Don't you ever doubt that. Don't you ever belittle standards of righteousness. You hear me? They came from somewhere. And righteousness is righteousness. And wickedness is wickedness. The world has its ways, and when you conform to the world, and when you look like the world, it's because you are of the world. That's just the way it is. And you can't come up with no lame excuse, well, it's still that's in the heart that matters. If it's right in the heart, it'll be right on the outside. Mark that down and don't forget it. And don't buy the lies from compromisers and deceivers who say otherwise, that it don't matter what's on the outside. The Bible never says that. Bible never said that. Jesus told those Pharisees, He said, this ye ought to have done, and not leave the other undone. He'll be different than the world around him, but it'll not be a mask he's wearing. It'll be real, and the natural result of the truth reigning in his soul. Not a strenuous effort on his part to put on an appearance for the eyes and ears of others. If a person's really got truth in the inward parts, he's going to look right on the outside, and it ain't going to be no chore, burden, stressful thing for him to be that way. He's not going to fret about it and worry and concern himself. He's just going to be. The thing about this truth in the inward parts, just being real. You know, we got a saying that I've heard all my life, but it's just like, you talk about somebody and you say, no, they're just real people. In other words, they really are just like they appear to be. And they're consistently that way. You don't see them today and they're all, ah, and then tomorrow they're like some mad dog. I've known people in church all my life like that. It's so obvious. Everybody comes to church with the mask on. And they're so smiley and brotherly and happy to be here. But you should have seen what happened in the car just before they got out. Or on the way to church. Or at home this morning while everybody's trying to get ready. Everybody sees the children see it. And I know people who have tried their best to serve the Lord, apparently. I mean, I'm saying that kind of, I guess they did. But they were two people. There was the outward appearance that everybody saw at church. And when they were happy, wasn't disturbed. And then there's this other person that everybody seen when they were upset about something. He'll be trusting truly in God, Gary, for his hope. And not the things he does and not to do, not the things he does and does not do to maintain the mask that he's wearing. He's going to be trusting in God. Gary talked about trusting in the Lord in Sunday school. Not what you do. Not friends. Not other things. Because everything else is changeable and all kinds of things. The person that's got truth in the inward parts, I don't know how to stress this enough, but he's going to be truly trusting in the Lord. People that don't have truth in the inward parts, they don't trust in the Lord. They do not trust. They're not trusting in the Lord. They say they are, but they're not. Because everything rocks their boat. Everything tips them over. Everything provokes them. Everything. Truth is the most powerful thing. There's no escaping it. Truth's the final word. Truth is, at time is truth's best friend, and you better believe that truth will prevail. Always and forever. Now get that. So what are you doing lying about what's in the inward parts? You're going to be found out. Truth always prevails, eventually. You may get by with hiding for a long time, but not usually. But sometimes you might. But it's going to come out. The hypocrite will always be revealed. And no matter how keen we become at acting the part, we'll certainly be found out in time. David wasn't about to go on any farther with this deal. I mean, he had already found out what was wrong with his heart. Now, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. Is that right? Jesus said that. The Bible says that more than once. So our mouth will betray the secrets of our heart when we're provoked. Yes, that's how it works. Let certain feelings be incited and watch the true heart of heart spill itself through the lips of that person. That's how it works. You know, this may be a poor analogy, but I'm good at that. We got a dumpster, and every once in a while, the coons invade our dumpster, and they start making a mess. Well, here, a few months ago, last summer, whatever, there's a coon got in the dumpster while it was empty, and there he was, couldn't get out. And so, you know, you open the lid and look in there, and you know what he's doing? Being real quiet, and he'll stare at you. But you take a stick and poke at him, and then you know what he does? Man, he comes alive. He lets you know that he's the meanest, most dangerous. I mean, you are in real danger because he's going to get you. And that's just how the heart of a person is. You can just poke at it. You find out what's in there. So it's going to come right out of the mouth. Like a torrent. Challenge certain opinions or question certain prejudices, and we'll see quickly the real heart that's hiding behind the phony image that person's trying to project everywhere. So you see, it does no good. You need truth. God desires truth in the inward parts. You might as well obey God and start seeking that and letting God work that in you. And that is God's work in us. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself there. But when we're easy on ourselves, and hard on others, even if it's only certain others, we uncover what our heart is really like. To have contempt and hatred for other people and to show no mercy or have no compassion reveals a selfish, self-centered, proud, haughty heart. Yes. People are so judgmental. I got my fill of that a long time ago in churches and everything else. Have you had your fill of it yet? Huh? What in the world? This judge not. I'm not talking about the world's way of judge not because I'm sinning and you ain't going to write the same thing about it. No! I'm talking about just no love, no compassion. This is what we talked about earlier. Amy mentioned, you know, children going hungry and stuff. And that's bad. But all around us, people are perishing, man. Their souls are perishing. Do you realize they're going to spend forever in hell? And we don't care much. What we care about is us. Our fun, our comfort, our luxury, our enjoyment of life, our contentment and happiness, and our friends and our family and our situation. That's what we care about. Well, that just reveals what's in that heart. When truth gets in those inward parts, there's a lot of things change. You don't really care about things anymore. You don't. That's not the most important thing in life at all. There's things that matter much more. When truth is in your inward parts, you become careful about your dealings with other people. I heard a celebrity. He's different. He's one of those old ones from way back there. But I heard him here a while back. He's old and I think he's dead now. But before he died, they were talking to him and he made this statement. He said, well, he said, as far as I know, I have never hurt anybody. Think about that. Now, if that's really true, or even if that's almost true, don't you think that's that goes right to the heart of the moral law of God in everything? That's the whole moral law.
Yes, sir.
If you got truth in the inward parts, that's going to be one of the things that you are concerned about more than anything, is hurting somebody. Being a stumbling block. Being causing somebody else pain, trouble, frustration, anger. You're not going to want to do that. Because that's not pleasing to God. And that's the truth of the matter. Even if that person refuses to believe it about himself. If these things happen, you know, I mean, we spill our guts. You know, there's that old ugly saying. But that's exactly what happens when we open our mouth. In passion. In anger. In envy. You know. Any kind of those things. That's what happens. It opens the door so everybody can see in there and see what's in there. Here you go. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37. Jesus said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Do you see how that all... I mean, that's one statement there. It's what comes out of the mouth. That's what Jesus said. That's how man's defiled. It's not what goes into your mouth. It's what comes out of your mouth. Because out of the heart proceed all those evil things. If the heart's evil, God desires truth in the inward parts. The battle for our soul is really all about putting truth on the throne in our inward parts. David, what he said here. I mean, do you understand where he's at? I mean, he's come to a place in his life here where, you know, things have got to be different from now on. Not different on the outside, what everybody does to me and what everybody thinks of me. Man, that's ruined. What's got to be different is in his heart of hearts. it's hard for me to put the end and the beginning and all this together because there's so much here, but this is the work of God in our life. We're talking about the man that wrote those words down was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was David, the man after God's own heart. That he's writing these words. And, you know, really, I mean, exposing his whole inner self to God. He's got to get right. I mean, he's made a terrible mess. Is there any hope for him to be right ever again with God? Well, yes. But it takes more than, well, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry I did it, Lord. Please help me not do it again. Okay, let's go. It takes more than that. It's like a death again. You know, dying to yourself. That's a thing there's a truth there that's all messed up in modern day thinking. We're crucified with Christ. We have to mortify our members. Well, I don't want to get sad right here. God desires truth in the inward parts. God wants an honest heart. Not just to begin with. You know, in the parable of the sower is on a good and honest heart that seed fell. The only one that brought forth fruit and remained and continued was the one that fell in a good and honest heart, on a good ground, that good ground. But God don't want an honest heart, truth in the inward parts, just at the beginning. It's from then on. He wants a truth in the inner parts forever. We have to live that way. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
It's not just so you can get saved and then continue the way things were. Truth in the inward parts has to be what drives you, what guides you, what checks you in everything from then on. That's the goal that God is working in our life. He wants our heart to be like we want the heart of our spouse to be. True and honest and real. Can't settle for anything less. Can't have no relationship if there's hidden things. If the heart is shut off from each other. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 26, he said, I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. I find more bitter than death a woman whose heart is snares and nets. Lies. Deceit. That's how God feels. He calls us His bride, don't He? How are you going to live and say, call yourself a Christian when your heart is full of deceit? You say, my heart's not full of deceit. Well, that's how you see it. And most of the times, that's part of your deceit. We cut ourselves a lot of slack, and we don't cut anybody else. Very much. We sure do. I mean, we are very slow to indict ourselves in anything. Hebrews 10 and verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's getting right inside and out. That's a clean heart, a pure heart, a true heart, and a clean outward appearance. Draw nigh to God. How are you going to draw nigh to God any other way? You're not. It takes a miracle of God to overcome our own determination to deceive ourselves. It really does. The new birth is a miracle. We were in a church one time and this professor, Southern Baptist professor, Dr. Humble was his name. It really was. This ain't no made up story. But he said in his teaching, he said, somebody name a miracle. And she said, well, being saved is a miracle. He said, no, not really. That's not really classified as a miracle. You know, pulling a rabbit out of a hat is a miracle, but being saved is not. It takes a miracle to keep our heart from deceiving itself, to overcome this tendency in ourselves to deceive ourselves. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now that's the natural state of a man. Romans 10 and verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So do you see the problem there? Do you? The very thing with which we must believe to be saved is the thing that is most likely to deceive us, our own heart. There's a dilemma there, isn't there? There's a great danger there, isn't there? You got to believe with your heart unto righteousness. But I mean, your heart's in the natural state, in the sinful state, is deceitful. Desperately wicked. So our feelings and desires have such power over our mind and thoughts that we must be on guard diligently, or we deceive ourselves. We justify our feelings by playing mental games with the truth. That's what we do. That's how this thing works. And I preached it and preached it. I hope you, when I'm gone, I hope you'll remember this. This is how it works. Your feelings mess with your thoughts until one or the other prevails. Either the truth prevails in your mind, with your mind, or your feelings and your passions and your heart prevail, and in your mind acquiesces to the lie. And then you're deceived. Then you believe you're right because you've twisted and squeezed everything until it fits you, satisfies you, justifies you with the way you are. That is why there must be truth in the inward parts, not just in the mind. We got that God desires truth in the inward parts, not truth, not just in the sense of mental knowledge and assent. You know, everything I've said here this morning, you say, that's the truth. No, I agree with it. Well, hallelujah. But that far is all it is. It's just in between your ears, that's all. That's not what God wants. Truth has to be in the inward parts. And when truth's in the inward parts, it's going to change what's on the outward parts. It's going to change that tongue. It's going to change the attitude. It's going to change the way you think, the way you look at other people, the way you perceive God, and everything in the world around you. It's going to change it. And it's going to be obvious to everyone. Its truth is in the sense of moral honesty and sincerity of action. In other words, real. What you say with your mouth, you believe, you really believe. And when the test comes, it's proven. Because no matter what the cost, you stand with truth rather than compromise. If it costs family, if it costs your job, if it costs your fortune, if it costs your life, you won't budge. We marvel at the martyrs. Well, they had truth in the inward parts. That's the secret to the whole deal. When you have truth in the inward parts and not just in your mind and your bank of knowledge, it makes a difference in the choices you make. You're not going to bend, and you're not going to break, and you're not going to recant. You can't. That's what they offered the martyrs. Just deny it. Just recant your faith. I can't. If it's just mental faith, you can say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just go ahead and tell them I'm recanting, and then that way I can live and serve the Lord longer. That's the way most people think, because they don't have truth in the inward parts. When it's in here, it's just religion. But when it's in here, man, it's the real deal. It is God is in you of a truth when He's in your inward parts. If you just got a head full of religion, knowledge of the Bible, and the rest of it, you ain't got what it takes. I'm telling you, it ain't going to carry you through. The lifetime goal of God is to bring us to truth in our inward parts. John chapter 8, verse 31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, He said, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now He's not talking about head knowledge of the truth. And He's not talking about just what they had just professed. Many of the Jews believed on Him, it says. And then He said to the Jews, those Jews which believed on Him, if. He's giving them assurance here, folks. That's what soul winners do, you know. No, that's not what He's doing here. If. If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Y'all get it? So, well, that's good. I'm glad you say you believe, but we'll see. We'll see what you do with it from here. Say, you're funny. You don't believe like the Baptists. No, I don't. Sure don't. Do I believe salvation happens in an instant? Oh, yes, I do. But do I believe that everybody that makes a profession and says they just got saved, really got saved? No, I don't. I believe just like Jesus did. He said, oh generation, John Baptist said, oh generation of vipers. Jesus just said vipers right there. John Baptist said, oh generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? They come wanting to be baptized. We want it too. They had their hands up too, just like the rest of the crowd. He said, not you. Bring forth fruit, fruit meet for repentance. Yeah. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. God will keep uncovering our hidden lies until we realize that we may as well be honest in our heart, because God can see in there all the time. What I'm trying to get across to you here is that this is the work of God in our life. Truth is worked into our inward parts as we grow in life. God will keep uncovering things for us. And we grow in this. Now let me see here. It is possible for truth to reign in our inward parts. And it is possible for us to have a heart that is true and not deceitful toward God and toward others and toward ourselves. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 31 says, "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" That's Old Testament. New Testament, the book of James says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you." So, the modern message of just come as you are. Bring it all with you. God will work on that later. No, it's not biblical. I've told you all before about a meeting that I knew of happened not too far from here. They were having a meeting, and the pastor of the church had been dealing with this couple that were living in fornication, and they wasn't married, and they was coming, but they were coming to church some. And so they had the revival meeting, and the young man came to the altar at the end of the service. And the evangelist went down to talk to him and asked him what he needed. Well, he needed to get saved. Well, the pastor came along, and he got on the other side of him, and he said, "Son, what is going on here?" He said, "Well, I need to be saved." He said, "Well, son, are you ready to do things right with this girl? I mean, are you ready to stop living in fornication and start doing right?" He said, "No, I can't do that." He said, "Well, you just well go back and sit down, because you're not ready to get saved." Made the evangelist mad. He canceled the meeting and left.
What's your opinion on that? How do you see that?
Well, we ain't got no business doing that.
Well, I think we better.
You want to tell that young man he can continue living in his sin? Well, let God do that. God's already done that. That's what's going on right now at this altar. His sin is right before his face. And he's looking for some way to justify it and somebody to tell him it's okay. You can have both. You can have God and your sin. And you can go to heaven when you die. Don't worry about it. That's what he's looking for. That's what the devil's telling him to seek for. And one of the preachers wants to give it to him. No. The man did right. What do you think that's about in 1 Corinthians where Paul said, you got fornication in your members there, such is not even mentioned among the Gentiles. You got a man living with his father's wife and sitting in the pew and you're glorying about it. You put them out. Or else when I come, it's going to be big trouble. And he said, and the whole goal was so the man could be saved. Go to 2 Corinthians and start reading again. And Paul's saying, okay, that's enough now. They got right. Now help them. They were still a pounding on them. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. That means a soft heart. The conflict must cease between our heart and the truth. See, to have truth in the inward parts, the heart's got to yield. The heart has to be yielded to God. What is your heart? It's your passions, your feelings, your emotions, you know, your desires. They have to be yielded to God. People that are out of control emotionally. All this other stuff, you know, fear and desire, just lust to have things of the world out of control. There's no truth in the inward part. You're either living after the lust of the flesh, and that's the lust of the heart now. That's where the desires come from. It's how come out of the heart proceed all evil things, you know. So the heart has to, that conflict between the heart and the truth has to stop. The mind and the heart must agree on the truth.
Yes, sir.
Man, I wish I could make that so clear. It's the struggle. You hear everybody talking about the struggle that we have. That's what it is. It's not between a sinful nature and the Holy Ghost of God. It's between your heart, the law of your mind, and the law, that's the fight that's struggling right there. The law of the mind is truth. Your mind, truth or false. Truth or false. That's the way your mind works. Your heart has desires. And I want this. And so there's a debate goes on. Starts messing with your mind. That has to cease. That has to cease. As long as our heart is resisting the truth and excusing itself for its determination to have its own way, we're going no farther with God. We're going farther from God. As long as your heart is demanding to have its way. When the conflict ends between our heart and the truth, the conflict will begin between our heart and the deceit of sin that is all around us in this world. That's what separates us from the world. You see things as they really are. And instead of arguing with the truth within yourself, you, all of a sudden everything changes. And you see the world for what it really is, and sin for what it really is, and yourself for what you've really been. And you renounce that. Your heart is against it. He gave us a new heart. A new heart. Not a stony heart. When the truth invades your heart, it'll be liberated. Just like a land that's under the oppression of a despot is liberated by an invading army. That old oppressor will be gone immediately, and there will be a new government there with laws based on truth and mercy.
You know, I don't know, history's a thing of the past, I guess, but, you know, some of us know what happened, like at the end of World War II, and just about all the wars where we've been involved in before, I want to say antes, but it's when, like Germany, what were the people of Germany, what was their reaction to the Allied forces coming through, and what did they were liberated, freed from the oppression that they were under. That's how it is with your heart. When the truth invades your heart, you're free. That's what he meant when he said you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That word know means more than just have knowledge, you know, knowledge of the facts. When you know the truth, when it's there in your heart, then you'll be free. Luke 17, verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. You see? Jesus talked about a strong man. A strong man is secure in his house and his goods until a stronger than he comes along. And he was referring to himself. And that's what happens. The kingdom of God is within you. The freedom, the liberation from sin and deceit and oppression. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to thee, unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? It's within you. Luke 8, verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. There must be a crisis for the truth to have a chance in our inward parts. Now, this is just the way that it works. You can go through the Bible. If you look at the people in the Bible that were great examples of spiritual victory, you're going to find that they all faced a crisis at one point or more in their life that changed everything for them forever. I'll tell you where to go to start with. Go to Jacob on his way back. Jacob had an encounter. I mean, he was at a crisis point in his life. Laban was behind him. Esau was coming to meet him. Everything he had was at stake. Esau had vowed to kill him. Laban was going to kill him. Looked like the end. But that's where Jacob wrestled with the Lord. And I've got this kind of, this is my opinion, but that man that he wrestled with was himself. And Israel prevailed. See? Do you think he prevailed against God? Jacob just beat God, won the battle. No, that ain't what it means. Old Jacob died that night. And from then on, his name was Israel. And he was a different man. He had a lot of experience with God and with truth and with the ways and the inheritance and all of that. But it came to a point where it was all over and he was going to lose it all. And he got serious that night. Jacob did what David's doing in Psalm 51. So I said, everybody's got a Psalm 51 in your life. If you're saved. In fact, every major step in our spiritual growth and understanding is by way of the same crisis that takes us to some precipice where we either live or die. Until this happens, we plod along in carelessness and apathy. You know, let me give you an illustration. It's like how we drive up and down the roads and we play with our phones and the radio and we eat and we look around at the deer and everything. And boy, it's just all fun and games. With that, we don't think we're going to have a wreck. We're not going to hit a deer. We're not going to run off the road. Ain't nobody going to hit me head on. And then Then all of a sudden we come upon a wreck or we see one, and then we're sober and we're thinking about it for a while, aren't we? Sobers our mind up. I'll tell you another thing. You know, in the summertime, walking around in the woods and you're stomping around there, not even thinking about a snake, and all of a sudden there's a snake. And I almost stepped on them. I've stepped on them before. And, and then you know what I think then? There's a snake everywhere. Yeah. My legs tingle and I can't work for looking for snakes. Well, that's just how it is with our sin and self-deceit until it rears its ugly head up where everybody can see it. We fail to seriously consider that it's there until it's uncovered and revealed, and that it's set to destroy us and others. We're forced to take a look at truth as it is, and not as we imagine it to be. The crisis points in life, they're designed by divine wisdom to force us to look at our own heart. Because He desires truth in the inward parts. And God, that's part of the goodness of God, that He arranges things so that He can bring us right to the point where it's just live or die. And we have to be honest with ourselves, about ourselves. What's it going to take for you this morning? I mean, where are you at in your life? Is the truth really in your inward parts? Examine yourself. If any man bridleth not his tongue, his religion is vain. That's a good test right there. The Bible's full of this. It's that tongue. It's an unruly member. I mean, boy. Because it is the window to the heart. It's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Everybody ought to realize, man, you're going to say you're just being over the line here, but everybody ought to just realize. You know, you wouldn't want the door opened when you didn't have on any clothes and everybody in the world seeing you. Man, it would be... The thought of that's revolting and shameful. But when everybody can see right in your heart and see what's really in there, how can you do that without running and hiding for shame? Our heart is our secret hiding place. And it's closed to others until our sin and ungodliness make it possible for others to see inside of it. This is what King David is doing with his own heart in Psalm 51. His sin has been revealed. Can you imagine? It all came out. What he had so desperately tried to hide. I mean, it was broadcast, shouted from the housetops. The king. The man of God, man after God's own heart, the psalmist, the shepherd boy, the giant killer. Look at what he really is. My goodness. His sin has been revealed. He's forced to look at himself in the full light of the truth and not just what others have thought of him and what he's come to think of himself. In his exalted position as king. When people look in the mirror, you know, that's what we do, don't we? What do you look in the mirror for? Well, you look to see if you got something on your face. You look to see if your hair's messed up, or if you got a pimple on your face, or something. Ain't that what you look in the mirror for? You're looking for something wrong, aren't you? Think about it. That's why we have mirrors. You're looking for something wrong. My brother, you know, she's always teasing him because when we first met, and before I'd ever took her to meet the family, we were going to go out where everybody was camped one day, and I told her, I said, you're going to meet my brother. And I said, you'll see. He'll be looking in the mirror at himself combing his hair. She didn't believe me, but that's exactly what happened. First time she seen him, he was in the car mirror. combing his hair. But he had to keep his hair just right. There's a point in this. The Word of God is a mirror. That's what it says. And when we look into it, we should do the same thing. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You can look in the Word of God as a mirror, and it'll reveal what your heart is like. Truth in the inward parts is the goal of God's working in our lives as long as we're here on this earth. Now, He does it through His Word, what we just said. He does it through His disciples. Why do we come to church? Gary asked that this morning. I think, why do we come to church? Somebody did. Well, we come to church for this right here, to be challenged. Because we all go around thinking, man, I'm all doing all right. I am doing all right. Boy, I'm learning, and I just know so much more than I used to know about the Bible. And, oh, God's just so good to me, and I'm just fine. Shut up over there. You want me to smack you? You know, then that same mouth comes blessings and cursings. And so we come to church so somebody can say, that's wrong. God desires truth in the inward parts. Truth. Reality. The same. Why? And you know, it takes a long time for God to work that into some of us hard-headed, hard-hearted people. And that's why, that's one of the main reasons of church. Iron sharpeneth iron. But it causes sparks too. God does it through His Word, His disciples, His providence. God can just, and it's wonderful what He does to bring these things to pass. We wouldn't even want to tell the things here this morning. None of us would. I certainly wouldn't want to tell what it took to bring in my life, to bring me to that a point where this became something real in my life. Where it changed. Put the truth out in front of everything. I knew the truth for a long time. But boy, it got shoved back a lot of times to say what I wanted to say. Through trials, disappointments, afflictions, losses, and being humiliated and abased. Can you imagine how humiliated David was? How could he even face anybody? Have you ever been humiliated? Deeply humiliated. Abased. That's how this happens. Through these things. And if we're not making progress, this is what God's working in our life, but if we're not making progress in being more honest, I'm closing in here, so everybody sit tight, and being more honest about whether we are more real and more godly, if we're not making progress in being more honest and more real and more godly in our inward parts, then we need to examine ourselves honestly about whether we've truly been born again. I'm just telling you, that's what we need to do. There needs to be some progress. Does it work this way? I mean, do we get perfect when we get saved? I mean, the Holy Ghost just gets in front of us, and then from then on, we don't make no mistakes. From then on, we got us. No, it doesn't work that way. We all know that. We all put our foot in our mouth, so to speak. Experience, what we just mentioned there, being humiliated, I think teaches you. Boy, you get a good dose of that, and man, you try to avoid it next time. Mm-hmm. So it's God works this in our life. We got to make progress. All the resolutions to restart and rededicate and reform and make our outward appearance and actions appear to conform to truth and righteousness are vain if it's not in the inward parts. And this is what I see. I see it. You know, I've seen it recently in some people I've been listening to, watching them. You know, young people, and they're just lost, man. They don't know what to do. And when they decide they want to get right, then the church tells them, "Well, just read your Bible and pray and come to the youth group and, you know, do the things that young Christian's supposed to do. That's all you got to do." Totally missing the mark. And souls are going to be lost. Countless. Not just theirs. They're going to have children. And they're going to teach them. And there's no telling what the cost is going to be for the lack of instruction and challenge and truth that needs to be hammered right there. So we're to be sanctified, not by the struggling efforts of our own will, but also by, listen to me, our acceptance through faith of all that God has brought within our reach. Man, you better avail yourself of everything that God puts within your reach. Spiritually, knowledge, truth, opportunities to do good. Truth in the inward parts does not spring surprises on people, but brings assurance and comfort. Now, this is what I mean by that. A lot of times we're shocked by someone's behavior or words when we thought they were something else. Have you ever been around people at church and you just heard them testify and cry and tell them how God's been so good to them, and then you see them having an argument with somebody or see them talking to their kids? It's like they're going to kill them or something. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced that Jekyll and Hyde Christian? It's shocking to you, isn't it? I mean, it's like it surprises you. Truth in the inward parts doesn't spring surprises like that on other people. That's not the effect that it has. You don't see that. When truth is in the inward parts, it steadies the boat. There's a check there. The old timers talk about the checks of the Holy Ghost. You feel the reins stop you before. Because the reins are on your heart, not on your mouth. So before it gets out of here, God stops you. Truth in the inward parts. That person may appear, you know, we're shocked when somebody's behavior or words are negative and hateful toward others or otherwise ungodly. You know, to hear a Christian swear and use profane language, so-called Christian, it's always shocking. Well, here's the answer. That person may appear to be squeaky clean on the outside and conform to all that's expected of him outwardly as a Christian, but when his passions speak, we get a glimpse at his inward parts. On the other hand, when we've grown to have confidence in someone and the reality of their faith in God, and we watch, are you listening? And we watch what comes out of them when provoked or tempted or hurt or inconvenienced or presented with ungodliness in others. When we see how they react, we're edified and encouraged by the truth that is truly in their inward parts. You understand? It's not a surprise. It's a blessing, and it's an edification to us. Real. There's reality. It's so rare compared to what we see so much of in the other. Well, I just got in the flesh. Had to tell them what I thought. No, it's got no truth in the inward parts. You got no reins. This is what God desires. He desires truth in the inward parts. That's what He's working on us all of our life to try to get us to that point. Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. Read this verse, these verses here. Matthew 7:15-20. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now this, what he's fixing to say, is true of all men, not just false prophets. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. I preach that to you all the time. And everybody else says that is not true. Jesus says it is. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. It's the same thing that David is talking about in Psalm 51. God desires truth in the inward parts. God is truth. And so we're not even on the kind of ground to pray or to have fellowship or have any kind of relationship with God until we have truth in the inward parts. The end. I'm done. I'm just telling you that's the way it is. God is truth. We're not even on the same channel. If we're operating carnally, which is what we're doing when we don't have truth in the inward parts. Got truth in our head. A lot of people have truth in their head, in their intellect. Educated, taught, trained, full of knowledge. But truth in the inward parts. That's another thing. Being real. That's what we're dying for. That's why the church is... That's why the church's influence has went to nothing. People are not real. They're good with just religion. Just knowing the Bible. Doing the things that the churches tell them to do. And so the divorce rate among Christians, even fundamental Christians, is equal with the world. Or what? Same problems that we have in families and all of this in the churches as what's in the world. What's wrong? This here is what's wrong. They're not real. Just religious. They're just like the world. They are of the world. It's got a religious coat on. A mask on. It's got to be real. Are you real? I mean, are you real? Time is going to reveal it. I mean, you'd be far better off to just be honest this morning and before God and own up to it. And do something about getting it right. Than to go on trying to hide and pretend and fool yourself and everybody else because it'll be revealed. You won't get out of this world without people finding out. In fact, you won't get very farther, much farther down the road without people finding out. Now, I know everybody wants to go away from church happy. But you can't be happy until you get right with God. Inward parts. If we could see in your heart what's there. Think about it. Who rules there, really? Amen. Think about it. Father, thank you for the Word of God and the truth here. Thank you for this testimony of David, these words, oh my, that are so full of truth and so much more here to be talked about. I don't feel like I've even done justice to this truth this morning. Lord, I feel like that it could be made so much clearer, that the aim could be so much sharper. Please, Holy Spirit, help us all to look in the mirror of Your Word and to examine ourselves with an honest heart and be true and honest in our judgment of ourselves as we are with the rest of the world. Oh Lord, we need a You're working in our lives, and I pray You would do so. Bless it now as we leave here, and I pray that it would be something we'd think about and remember, and that You could work on us through about this matter. Help us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.